Well, we want to actually, for those of us that were at Hillsong, we want to send a great big thank you now. So let's all stand up, and because I'm going to get you to help me, thank Pete Swift. And Pete was our amazing coach captain and accommodation organizer and everything else. And he just put it all together and just continued to look after. So I have a great big hand for Pete Swift. Well done, Pete. Woo! Okay. Well, let's have a seat. And for those of you who are here this morning, I am going to start in the same place that I did this morning, but stick with me, I am going somewhere. I do believe that God wants to do something in us tonight. He actually wants to do something inside us. So I want you to get ready for that. Get ready for what He wants to do tonight. Proverbs 25:25 says, good news. Get that. I want you to get a hold of this. Good news from far away is like cold water to the thirsty. There's nothing like a glass of cold water when you're really, really thirsty, is there? You know, when you've been running or you've been playing sport or you've been doing something else and you just get so dry, and that it's like that first little bit of water that you get in, it's like the nectar from the gods. It just does something amazing when you get that. Now, the reason that this was written in the Proverbs by King Solomon, and the reason that he was probably writing this, he said, good news from far away. And we know that King Solomon was a womanizer. He had 700-odd wives and a whole heap of concubines. We know that he was very, very wise. We know that he was the wisest man on the face of the earth, and he had 700 wives. They don't seem to go together, but anyway, he was able to pull all that together and do that. It's all I can do to make, you know, one wife. That sort of sorts me out. But he was also an amazing trader. He had this fleet of ships that they used to sail all over the world, and they would bring all sorts of things back. And they reckon that those ships actually sailed as far as India, so they would bring, you know, spices and gold and things like that back from India. And then someone would see the ships coming in from the place called Joppa, which is modern-day Tel Aviv. And they would actually see these ships coming in, and they would get message to Solomon, and it was like all the ships are back, and there was this excitement that would sort of well up in him and the people, you know, and it was like good news. It was good news that the ships were coming, and it was like it was something, it just lifted people, and it was like a thirst being quenched. Isn't it amazing when you can actually share in good news, when something happens in a family and everybody gets together around that good news. I can remember as kids, it didn't take a lot to excite us sometimes, you know, like a new television came into the house or something like that, and everybody would be there and you'd be getting all excited and checking out this new thing, and it was like, oh, good news, guess what we've got. And good news is an interesting thing. Good news actually does something inside us. Good news actually will start to quench thirst. Good news will start to lift us up. And we actually live in a world that is trying to squeeze the good news out of you. It's trying to squeeze the good news out of life. It's trying to squeeze the good news. You turn on the television and you mostly, what's the driving force behind stories that go on the TV? You know, it's always about the shock value. It's always about the sensation. It's not actually often about the quality of what's going on. But I'm not saying that we shouldn't. We need to know about bad news. We need to know when an earthquake hits Haiti. We need to know when there's gross violations of human rights. We need to know about those things so that we can do something and make a difference. But I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that don't let this world that we live in start to squeeze the good news out of you. Don't be apologetic when you've got good news to share. You know, be sensitive, but don't let the world do that, squeeze that out of you. You know, sometimes somebody has a baby arrive and they're almost scared to announce it because somebody else might be upset because they can't have children or something like that. And those things are very real if you're in that situation. But what I'm saying is good news actually needs to be announced. Good news needs to be talked about. Good news needs to be shared. And let's be people that share good news. And I want to read these verses again that Dan read before from Luke 14:16-20, and you read much the same verses in Isaiah 61, and And the background here is Jesus was just basically starting his ministry, and he walks into the synagogue or walks into church, and he was part of that local church, and they handed him the book, which was one of from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, from one of the prophets, and he picks it up and he opens it to Isaiah 61, and he starts to read this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he said, it's actually upon me. He's actually fulfilling this prophecy. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty for the captives, the recovery of sight for the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim acceptable the year of the Lord's favor." He closed the book and sat back down. And all the eyes of the place were fixed on him. You see, Jesus' mission statement was to preach what? Good news to the poor. To preach good news to the poor. It wasn't actually he didn't say, "My mission statement is to come and tell you guys how bad you are and how much you're in need of God." That was really true. That was true that all of humanity was in a situation where we were separated from God by sin. And Jesus didn't come in with, "My mission statement is to tell you all what's wrong with you and tell you that you need God in your world." That would have been 100% true. But the fact that Jesus was God, he actually takes a much higher road. He takes a much higher mission statement. He says his mission statement is, "I have come to preach good news to the poor." And then he goes on, "I've come to heal up the brokenhearted. I've come to set captives free. I've come to restore sight to the blind." And he talks through that and he says, "I've come to proclaim that this is the year of the Lord's favor." And we live under the year of the Lord's favor. We live in a time where God is pouring out his Spirit, where good news is something that we need to be proclaiming. We need to be proclaiming good news. So let me tell you some good news tonight. I'm going to whiz through some things here, and I want you to start to let this impact you. Number one, if you want to take notes, you go quick, you can do that. But number one, if you're in Jesus Christ, I'm talking to people that have actually decided that they're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Number one, you are Christ's friend. John 15:15, it says, "I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friend since I've told you everything that the Father told me." Number two, you are justified. That means just as if you haven't sinned. That's all of us here tonight who follow Jesus Christ. We are justified. Romans 5:1. "Therefore, since you have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace because of what Jesus Christ has done in us." Number three, you've been bought with a price. You were so, so valuable that you've been bought with the very price of the Son of God. And it says this in Romans 6:20, "For God bought you with a very high price." Number four, you've been adopted as children of God. Ephesians 1:5. God decided in advance to adopt you in his family. He didn't just take you in because nobody else would take you. He didn't actually take you in because you were like the poor kid out on the street that didn't have a home. God decided in advance that he wanted you in his family, and he wanted you to adopt you into his family. That's why you are so valuable that he sent his son to come and die for you. He decided in advance that he wanted to adopt you in his family. And I think there's something very powerful about adoption, isn't there? You see, when parents choose to have a child, they choose to have a child, or perhaps it happens by accident, or however it happens, but the child comes and the child turns up. Adoption, when somebody actually chooses, that they actually get the chance to say, "I choose to adopt this person into my family." And I think that's a very, very powerful thing. For some of you that may have even experienced that, perhaps there are people here tonight that have actually been adopted into a family. And I know there's all sorts of things that go with that. But it's a very powerful thing that somebody chose to have you in their family. And God actually chose you. That's good news. God chose to adopt you into his family. Ephesians 1:5. God decided in advance to adopt you into his family by bringing you to himself through Jesus Christ. This is because he wanted to do it and it gave him pleasure. In other words, he is actually really pleased to adopt you into his family. Number five, Number five, in good news, you may approach God with boldness. In other words, you don't have to sort of come cowering up before God and think, gee, how do I approach God? Even though he's the most magnificent, powerful being in the whole of the universe, God actually wants you to approach him with boldness. See, there's only most fathers, good fathers, want their children to actually come to them in a comfortable sort of way. You know, there'll be fathers here tonight, and you want your kids to be able to walk in and start to talk to you and tell you what's going on. You don't actually want them cowering in and coming in and being really scared that they're going to get whipped or going to get in trouble. You see, the heart of our Father in heaven is that we can actually come to him with boldness. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into his presence. Number six, good news, you are complete. So you are complete through your union in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Number seven, you are citizens of heaven. Ephesians 2:19 says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of his family. Number eight, you're a child of God. I know there's a bit of a theme here with these. And it says this in John 1:12, but all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. You talk about human rights, that's a kingdom right, that when you come before Jesus Christ, you have the right to become a child of God. Isn't that amazing? Number nine, you're not condemned. We live in a world that wants to condemn people all the time. And sometimes we do things and we've got to pay the price. We've actually, you know, if you go out and you murder somebody, well, you'll be condemned to whatever sentence the court hands down on you. And that's something that you know, you would deserve that if you were guilty of that. The reality is all of us were actually guilty before God. We're all people that have actually, we've sinned against him, we've done our own thing, and rightfully we should be condemned. But the good news is that through Jesus Christ, you are not condemned. You are not condemned at all. Romans 8 verse 1 says, so there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Can I just stop here for a moment? If I'm really honest, does anybody feel condemned from time to time? Do you feel judged? Do you feel like people look at you in a certain way? Do you feel like there is, you know, there's some condemning that actually happens? Maybe somebody's spoken something over your life once. Maybe it's been something that happened at school. Maybe it's been a family situation. Maybe it's a complete stranger. But maybe you just feel condemned. I want to start to pray for people that feel condemned. Why don't we just bow our heads, close our eyes just for a moment. And I want you to receive some good news tonight. The good news in Jesus Christ is you are not condemned. You are not condemned. So let's just allow the Holy Spirit just to move here for a moment. I'll just slow this down just for a sec. Lord, I thank you that when we come to you, that we are not condemned. I thank you that there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. I thank you that you set us free from judgment. You set us free from the power of words that want to hold us down. So, Lord, right now I just pray for people across this place that might be feeling that might be starting to think about things that have been spoken over them, perhaps even in the last week, things that have been said. Lord, I just pray right now that you would just bring healing, that you would enable them to let that go in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray for a person here tonight who's just feeling like they've said some things and they're feeling very, very condemned by what they've said. They're feeling condemned about the way that they've acted. They're feeling condemned about things that they've spoken out that they wish that they could take back. And right now, Lord, we ask that you would come and do a healing in that life. You would do healing in the lives of those people, that you would enable them to let that go and know that in you, in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation, that you've set us free. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're doing a work here in people. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll keep going here. So number 9 was you're not condemned. Number 10, you are the salt of the earth. Have you ever been told that you're the salt of the earth? I've said that to people sometimes. You know, when someone's a good value sort of person and you say, you're the salt of the earth. But actually, God says that to you. In Matthew 5:13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. In other words, you are actually placed here on this earth. You're placed in your high school. You're placed in your university. You're placed in your workplace. You're placed in your family to actually bring good news into that situation. You're placed there to actually bring flavor into that situation. You know, salt is a food enhancer. I mean, obviously, if you overdo it, all you taste is the salt. But you're placed wherever you are to actually enhance where you are. You're actually placed to enhance your family, believe it or not. You're placed in your high school to enhance that high school. You're placed there to actually bring flavor and bring the good things out of that. And that's the way that God sees you. I think that is good news because everybody needs a purpose and we're all called to be salt. So you are salt. Number 11, you can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13 says, for I can do everything through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Isn't that amazing? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Number 12, you've been rescued. Colossians 1:13, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. That's amazing. Number 13, you are chosen. And it says this in John 15:16. You didn't choose me. This is Jesus speaking. You didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. Number 14, God is not finished with you. And Philippians 1:16 says, I am certain that God who has begun a good work in you will continue until it's finally finished in Christ Jesus returns. Have you ever got to a point? You've been tracking along and you get to a point, perhaps, you know, you remember when you got saved and you were so excited and things started to happen in your world and things started to change and you felt like you were growing. You felt like every time that you opened the Bible that God was speaking to you, and you get to a point where it just sort of gets a bit sort of ho-hum. You're just sort of going along and it feels like nothing much is changing. I want you to write this verse down if you're feeling like that. It says, Philippians 1:16, for I am certain that God who began a good work in you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So God who has started a good work in you will continue that good work until it's finished. Number 15, I love this, and it says, Romans 8:28, it says, all things work together for good. I'll start again. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose for them. So all things work together for good for those that are called according to his purpose. And that's another one I just want us to take a little bit of time on. Maybe this week you've had stuff go on in your world. And you thought, why did that happen? What's going on here? What happened in my world, in my life this week? Maybe someone's said something to you. Maybe you've had an argument with somebody. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe, you know, you've had a financial thing hit. Maybe a whole raft of things could have gone on in your world this week. You know the place that God wants us to live? All things work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. In other words, God is the God of the big picture. God is the God that can actually orchestrate and cause everything that goes on in your world to actually work together for your good. Isn't that amazing? That everything that goes on in your world, he can cause it to work together for your good. When you lose your job, when you're going through it, that's a bad day. That's not a good day. But God can actually turn that around and he can use that for your good. When you're struggling in a relationship with somebody, God can actually turn that around and he can do things in your world and he can actually make that work together for your good. When the car runs out of petrol on the way to work, God can actually turn that around as hard as that is and as frustrating as that is. and you're annoyed with yourself because you should have filled it up, you should have gone to the servo, but you thought, I'll just run this one, I can get by, I'm born lucky, I'm charmed, it's going to be all right, and the thing runs out of petrol, and you're thinking, I can't see any good in that. God can use that to work together for your good. And sometimes it's not the good that we think. Maybe he's teaching you patience. Maybe he's teaching you to plan things a little bit better. Maybe he's actually going to use that to detour your life so that you connect with somebody else and then you get an opportunity to share good news somewhere else. God can cause all those things to work together for your good, for those that are called according to his purpose. Just as I finish tonight, I'll share really quickly some points that I shared with the guys this morning. And I'm not going to preach into these, and we're going to pray for some people in just a moment. But the interesting thing is, after Jesus had, soon after he'd come out of that synagogue, after he'd sort of really fulfilled that prophecy and he'd spoken out his mission statement and he talked about what was happening. And this morning I shared a little bit about John the Baptist. And the thing is that the John the Baptist was sent before Jesus to actually announce that he was coming. And John the Baptist, he was one of these guys that was wondering how all things could work together for his good, because he was actually in jail and his life was at risk. And we know that eventually he was beheaded. It didn't, you know, in the way that we look at things, we can't see how that worked together for his good. But God used that in his kingdom in an amazing way. But anyway, John actually gets his disciples and he's starting to doubt a little bit. He's starting to doubt whether Jesus was actually the Messiah. He was wondering if things were actually going the way that they should be. And he sends these guys and they go over and they talk to Jesus. These are John's disciples. And they say, Jesus, John has actually sent us over here to find out whether you're the real deal, whether you're actually the Messiah. Because you got to think about this from John's perspective. He's in jail. And he's actually waiting for this Messiah to come who might actually overthrow the ruling authorities and release him from jail. So he had a vested interest in seeing something happen here. And so he sends his guys to say, are you the real deal? You know, perhaps you're just all talk. And Jesus answers them like this. Jesus answered them and he said, go and tell John the things that you have seen and the things that you've heard. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf heal, the dead are raised. And listen to this. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And the gospel simply means good news. Go and tell John the things that you've seen and the things that you've heard. What's our experience? What's our walk with God? When we go out of here, we've got an opportunity to do what Jesus talked about towards the end of those couple of verses, to proclaim that we live in the time of God's favor. In other words, we can share the good news. We preach the good news to the poor, and the poor basically there means, it does mean the people that are literally poor. It does mean those that are physically poor, but it also probably more than that means those that are spiritually poor. You see, anybody that hasn't experienced the love of Jesus Christ is in a place of spiritual poverty. Why did Jesus say, blessed be the poor? Because what he was saying was, blessed are those who recognize their need. Blessed are those who recognize that they can't do it by themselves. Blessed are those who recognize that they need the healing power of Jesus Christ. And he said, blessed be the poor. And he's just encouraged us to go and share good news with the poor. What have you seen and what have you heard? What have you seen and what have you heard? I just want us to start to think about that. And we're going to minister into that tonight. Because if we're going to be people that share the good news, we've actually got to have seen something and we've got to have heard something. And people, you know what's going to see a church like this really, really impact a city? We can do a whole lot of good works and We want to reach the poor. We want to reach people. And most of it's not got to happen inside here. Most of it's actually got to go on out there. But when people start to talk about what they've seen, and when they talk about what they've heard, when people start to talk about the way that they experience love, when people start to talk about the way that they were accepted completely unconditionally, when people start to talk about the way that they weren't judged, maybe they had a different opinion on something and they were accepted and they were loved for who they were. And they start to see that sort of thing. They start to see other lives being changed. They start to see people being set free. They start to see change. And people will start to go across this city and they will start to report and they will start to share the good news about what they have seen and what they have heard. We're going to worship now. But I want, and I'm sure you do too, I want all of us to have something to report. I want us all to be able to share what we've seen and what we've heard. And our relationship with God is, it's got to be a vibrant relationship with God. It's got to be an alive one where we're starting to see things in the Spirit, where when we start to share with people, we're sharing out of a heart that has been set on fire because we've been in the presence of God. When we've picked up the Word of God, we've actually started to open it up and we've started to see things in it and we've started to hear the voice of God. And we can start to go out and we can start to report to people what we've seen and what we've heard. And lives start to change. Come on, let's stand up. I want us, first of all, to just start to worship. And I want you to start to open yourselves up and allow God to speak. I just get the feeling that tonight, as we worship, that He's going to start to plant some things. He's going to start to plant some visions and some dreams in people tonight. There's somebody here there that's feeling like you've perhaps started to lose hope. And just as we worship, I just believe the Holy Spirit is just going to plant a vision of hope in your life. You're going to start to see stuff. You're going to start to see things and how they could be.